besides that, they chopped a foot and a half off my height.
They sure
did. Grandma will love to tell you the story about this. But it turns out that one of Russell Herman's, well, it was his, would have been his first wife, was Chinese. Very, very high ranking in the hierarchy of Chinese government person. And so when Mr. Bush started running this contract or this old gold certificate, we'll call it the bonus contract, that's for explicitness, everybody. Because it gets confused with the original contract and batshit and all this stuff, you know. Let's just not bother with it. He had ruined several of the Japanese banks, and he came up against, he destroyed Barings Bank, the oldest, biggest bank in the world, with it. Credit Lyonnais had burned to the ground. He had used it. All of these bunkos, like Banco Nacional de Mexico, Swiss Bank, the Italians got it. And it would always be like $2.4 billion here and a little $2.4 billion there, and some insignificant little trader got blamed with all of it. You know, in each instance, well, China said, no, thank you, Mr. Bush. We know what you do, sir. We ain't no play. And no ticky, no lonely.
No play.
Well, they're playing now, aren't they? They're playing with your toys on your territory, your turf. And so what's wrong? Slick Willie can't cut it, can he? They're going to get rid of old Slick Bill. And Mr. Bush is scared spitless. That means they're going to have to get rid of the feds and Alan Greenspan somewhere along here, aren't they? And they're going to have to acknowledge the resources of a gold-backed certificate, and that means that somebody's got to bring some gold home. Because as we speak, they are dickering and negotiating over the other 51% of this contract. And I don't even have anything to do with all that we got. Whew. Isn't it a lovely world today? All you need is a little patience, people. And, of course, I'm not going to share all of this with these young people that will come out because they're going to be completely torn in 1,000 directions what they think about this. I don't care what they think about this. But I'm going to do what I did here in the beginning. We don't take pictures of her and we don't take pictures of EJ because of privacy and we want no focus on them. We don't want a face that comes up in a hee-hee-hee-hee cult. We have no cult here. We work for one entity, and that is God. And it's spelled A-T-O-N, and I don't care whether they like it or don't like it. Those are the apples, buddies. And if they don't like it, they can take it up with Cleopatra in Egypt. They're going to learn who Sananda is. I'm sick of this BS. Saul of Tarsus named Jesus, Jesus. In Greece yet. Come on. Right, Jesus. Jesus. And I'm going to run down through. Even if they hadn't utilized this poor bunch of suckers in San Diego, brainless, absolutely thinking-less people, But I may have to ask all you guys to drop your drawers tomorrow. Absolutely. I mean, you know, we're so like them. And there'll be no laughter. But we do need witnesses. Now, what do you suppose you would do if I got up here and said, all right, boys, let's all clip them off.
Gotta go.
We'd really find out, wouldn't we, who is faithful.
You first, Commander.
Do you know what? Ah, but you will never know, will you?
Never.
And the first thing they say is they flash this palatial compound on the screen and they say, and they're all holed up in there. Well, I hope all of you bring your sleeping bags or you're going to be on the floor. And it may not be as comfortable as it was in San Diego. So let's discuss a little bit of what might be different about us and them. You don't know about me. You know a little bit about her, but very damn little, obviously, if you could put her as the head of much of anything. This one would be under the bed, not on it. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's what God told you. Don't listen to these people that are going to come along and tell you to do these things. All right, now, did Mr. Applewhite do it or not? And did they follow Mr. Applewhite, whose face is on everything, or not? See? If you set up an idol, look at the trouble it gets you. If you'd listened to God in the first place, there would be no discussion about it whatsoever because nobody would have ever set up themselves in His stead and said, hey, look at me, Buster, I am Jesus Christ God. Now, that brings a whole hell of a lot of trouble. So why would any sane human being want to do that? They got to be crazy. So let's just say, okay, the poor man's a nut, but everybody in the group who said, oh, we followed Applewhite, followed him like God right to their death. Because do you think they're flopping around on a spaceship? I want to tell you, they are not. They are dead. They dieted themselves. If they thought somebody was going to snatch them up, oh, but they've got that covered too. Oh, no, we're going to become spirits. Who the hell wants them if they don't have any better brains than that? I don't want some idiots like that floating around my premises. Thou shalt not kill. That includes late-term abortions and early-term abortions. Woman's choice, the woman always has a choice, and that is when she lays down on that bed. And I'm sorry if I sound crude, but that's where the choice is, right there. Right there. Honor thy father and thy mother. Do you think it's honoring your father and your mother to grow into middle-aged to elderly people and lay down on a cot and commit suicide? To be found down there and bring pain to them the rest of their lives? Desert your family when responsibility is the lesson to be learned in this life journey? Pull away from your family, your spouse, or take the spouse, leave the kids for somebody else to raise, and you cut out and you go down and join that sect. Don't you, Don't you think they were watched carefully everywhere they went so they knew when they were ready to wipe them out? These are, every one of them experienced computer hackers. Oh, new game in town, isn't there? Now let's just take adultery. Well, obviously they went to great lengths to not commit adultery. They couldn't deal with responsibly saying no, you know, like the president wants you to do. Just say no. No, they had to tamper with themselves so that it wouldn't be appealing or whatever garbage they give you. Does this mean that they're so wonderful for neutering themselves and they didn't want to have any taint of woman versus man? They become the androgynous species. They don't do anything but show their ignorance. That does not make you androgynous. It makes you castrated. No more, no less. Ah, but they were morally decent. So far, everything I've seen about them is about as immoral as you can get in every category. But they still have the right to do that if they want to do that. That is between each individual soul and God. It's not my business, not your business, as long as they are not interfering with someone else. So maybe they didn't covet the neighbor's wife. So maybe they got over adultery, but I doubt it. I doubt it. Let's look at what might have happened. There was a long time from getting to where Applegate was, I mean, and where he became. And they went in and leased $7,000 a month for that place. And they had moved to that place from Arizona where they had 5 or 6 or 7,000 square feet. In a very, very posh setting. So they come to San Diego and they promised the owner of that building that they would never have more than 7 people in it. How many did they say committed sideways in there? 39. So they lied to somebody. They managed to get 39 people in there to all lay down and commit suicide and absolutely destroy beyond any shadow of a doubt the value of that piece of property. To the extent that now we get back to the CIA, Mossad, and FBI, they got a buyer for the property, didn't they, right away? To do what? Burn it, tear it down, burn it to the ground. Get rid of the evidence. It's that time of the year again, guys.
Commander?
Yes.
Last night on CNN, I noticed they were talking about terrorists, and they said that they feared that there would be some other kind of terrorist activity on April 19th.
Well, you may be surprised. We all waited for it last year, and it appeared it didn't happen. It happened. It just didn't happen in your country. That is a satanic holiday, only surpassed by May 1st and the part of Easter that right around Easter. Easter was a pagan holiday. Easter was Easter. It was Satan's Day, a celebration very, very, very similar to what you would have right now as your Mardi Gras. A major pagan celebration, basically of evil, and spring, and all of the rites that go with it, like sex and orgies and that sort of thing. Total irresponsibility. Easter was well established long before you had Isu Emmanuel, Sananda, Jesus, come along. It was, as far back as you can ever find it in history, a pagan holiday. It was recognized as being a Barabbas. It was an Easter tradition to let one criminal go. And so Barabbas got away. That was an Easter tradition. So no, it wasn't established long before Rome. So you're dealing now with the major satanic holidays. So be very, very cautious and be very, very careful of your children during these upcoming very tight few little years, because a millennium is coming, and whether or not we believe in a millennium of ancient prophecies, forget it. The millennium is coming, and a lot of governmental things are coming down. It is a struggle of the satanic energy to hang on to what they have and gather what more they can, and it's all falling apart on them. It's like hanging on to all these strings, and it's like spaghetti. They're like old rubber bands. They had it all tied together, and they knew it was going to be hard, and they knew it was going to be bad. And so if we patiently wait, they're going to just shoot each other with these rubber bands as they snap. And you've got time, and I've got time. So we're not going to push this old river any harder than it's being pushed. And we're going to let them come into the backflow of the eddies they create out of their own confusion. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to enjoy tossing some of these things back in their plates. And I wonder if Rick has enough ready to even begin to share with us his little thing he's been working on a couple of days with just Jason Brent. And yes, I want Rick to know that you betcha, Buster, we're going to go in with everything we've got, and if you want to head for that federal court to bring some common law charges, let's go for it. You're going to get some backup here pretty quick.
Can we get this on tape?
If you believe that you have been part of the body-mind manipulation and part of the satanic cults with the government when you were a child, how do you protect yourself from what's going on right now?
Hang on to God as tight as you can. That's all you've got right now. And especially if you have no clear vision of what you experienced. And then you try to get together with Mark Phillips when he and Kathy get here, and you talk about some of these things and let him evaluate whether or not maybe there is something there, and you're only getting bits and pieces of it. Handle it professionally, properly, and don't talk about it too much, or they will kill you. It gets harder to silence everybody anymore. Because memories are flooding back. It's like having this kind of communication. You are headed for the time when everybody in here has this kind of communication. You just don't accept it. You don't assume responsibility for it. And you don't even think carefully about it. I don't need five speakers in this room. It's confusing to have more than one. But we've got a myriad of commanders needing speakers. But be very careful, because everybody gets on the little game kick. I would like to be a speaker. I am going to write. And I'm going to write that Commander Hatton shouldn't do this and this and this and this. Well, guess what? This is Commander's turf. And believe me, Commander Soltec is not going to counter my command. So stop playing the silly games. And let's get on with accepting responsibility. For instance, what did they say about this cult, Heaven's Gate? They said they are brain dead. They wouldn't even allow anyone in who was not brain dead. Well, that is as opposite of what God expects of you as anything you will ever say. I expect every individual to be a thinking individual or get out of my way. I don't want any of this.
Commander, do brain dead and hackers go in the same...
Well, it may. We'll have to do a little research into that. Is Rick ready to give us a little report? I think that all of you should hear Jason Brent's, you know, all of this time that he's gone on and he said, I have no part of anything. I never worked with George Green. Right in deposition this last year, he said, oh, there was no reconstruction and I don't do this and I didn't do that.
Can I wait till tomorrow when I'm fully prepared?
Whatever grabs you. This man had given George Green an entire blueprint of what to do to get the Eckers. And he said, it'll take the rest of my life because the Eckers will not go away.
Well, let's read the letter.
All right, that's a good one.
And let's read the transcription.
Of the phone call, that's a good idea.
You read the letter, I'll read the transcription.
And then I'm going to want to know, some of you come out here from the LA area. We've got two or three of the most beautifully informed and bright black people that I have ever encountered who have carried forth beyond, you know, everybody's going to want to say, well, the Black Panthers were awful, they were communistic, they were all of these things. Everybody goes through a searching period when you know your system is bad. You start grasping at whatever. But we've got some of these, and especially one who is a major player in that organization who doesn't have, what he said, wheels. And he would love to come out here, but we don't have any way to get him out here. So if anybody from the LA area would like to make that contact that could, if you were coming, maybe pick up Boko. We had three, Boko, Sharif, and Kwaku. Kwaku is also an attorney. And, of course, I believe Boko is the only one that does not have transportation. The others are extremely busy, including him. But he has shown this information, the papers. No matter how many they get, they are gone like that. So maybe you could speak to Rick or something after the meeting. Okay, Rick, go.
This is a letter on Jason Brent's stationery dated April 19th, 1995.
April
19th,
1995.
Interesting date.
Isn't it?
Really?
I think you could reach out and touch someone like Oklahoma City.
Addressed to Mr. George Green in Bozeman, Montana. Dear George, This letter is intended to confirm our telephone conversation of Friday, April 14th, relating to the Ecker problem. I would recommend that each person defrauded by the Eckers write a detailed letter to Ed Jagels, Kern County District Attorney, Dan Lundgren, Attorney General of the State of California, the Fraud Department of the U.S. Post Office, and the Fraud Department of the Securities and Exchange Commission in Washington, D.C., setting forth a detailed account of how they were defrauded and requesting criminal prosecution of the Eckers. I would also recommend that each person send a similar letter to the district attorney of the county in which he or she resides, as well as the attorney general of the state in which he or she resides. In addition, I would recommend that each person defrauded send a similar letter to the attorney general of the state of Nevada, as the Eckers do a substantial amount of business in Nevada. Lastly, I would recommend that each person who was defrauded contact any local government official they know and ask that government official to apply pressure to the district attorney or attorney general. For example, if Mr. Jones was defrauded and he is friends with an assemblyman where he lives, he should contact the assemblyman and ask the assemblyman to set up an appointment with the district attorney of his county and with the attorney general of his state. Hopefully, all of this pressure will get some action on the criminal front against the Eckers. If I am retained as an attorney, I would assist in preparing the above letters and contacting the appropriate prosecuting officials. Both of us know what the Eckers are, and therefore, no further description of their honesty, integrity, etc. is needed. If I am retained as the attorney for the persons defrauded, I would want a substantial war chest.
Get this. Listen to this very carefully.
The Eckers will fight every inch of the way and will attempt to hide their assets, and therefore, going after the Eckers will be a full-time job. To put it slightly differently, I would have to give up my entire practice and only proceed against the Eckers. Not only would I have to proceed against them in the courts, I would also have to proceed against them on the public relations front. That would require providing evidence to the editors of all the appropriate newspapers.
Like Extra, maybe.
Like Extra. So that they and their shills cannot use the newspapers to attack the victims, appropriate law enforcement agencies, and everyone else concerned in their fraud. You have indicated to me that you were contacted by people that were defrauded in the approximate amount of $2 million or $2.5 million. I believe it only fair for each person to put up 10% of the amount he or she was defrauded, so that my war chest would be $200,000 to $250,000 for legal fees and costs. I would not proceed until and unless that money was deposited in my attorney's trust account, so that I could be assured of receiving payment for the services I render and for the substantial costs I will incur. I will incur substantial filing fees and, in all probability, incur substantial private investigators' costs. I think the above summarizes our conversation. As I advised you, if the people cannot put up a war chest equal to 10% of the amount they have been defrauded, I am not interested in proceeding against the Eckers. If the people haven't got the courage to put up 10% of the amount they were defrauded to hopefully recover the amount they were defrauded, then they do not deserve competent legal counsel. If I can provide additional information to you or anyone, please contact me. Sincerely yours, Jason G. Brent, Attorney at Law.
Sharks, you bet. Next, where's the transcript?
Sorry, Commander, I'm running a little slow today.
Well, I think we're going to have to, when we wrap this up, maybe get the two of you home. Well, before we break up, I know that she wants some instructions. She's got cookies and stuff to haul down tomorrow, so she wants most of this left up. Whatever cake is left, we can take home and cut up and make some trays out of it. I really would appreciate coffee and Gaia Light. I would like them to know that our products are not poison. They seem to have spread that around, too.
I'm really tired today. I had to stay up till 2 o'clock this morning to change all my clocks.
You mean all but the one it took you and Charles 20 minutes to get off the wall and change?
Hey, you've been peeking again. What did you say, Gene?
George Abbott stayed up till 2 also.
George Abbott has, what, 100 clocks or so?
And he has 12-foot ceilings to accommodate us.
This is dated Thursday, April the 3rd, 1997. I, Doris J. Ecker, heard the cell phone in the bedroom ringing and thinking it probably to be E.J., who sometimes uses that phone as an intercom when he knows I'm upstairs, I answered it. It was a male voice I didn't recognize, and when I asked if it were, and when asked if I were Mrs. Ecker, still thinking it to be E.J., I said, "Yeah, E.J., what do you need?" He said that he was not E.J. and that I might be well advised to keep quiet while he explained a few things to me. In view of the recent calls due to the publicity and trashing on TV programs, I told him, "Tell me something different from what was on the news real quick, or he would be talking to a dial tone." He said, quote, "I was present during a telephone conversation that included Jason Brent concerning how to discredit the Eckers. I haven't seen that on the news. Is that different enough?" I said, excuse me. I said, "I'm suddenly all ears, but I want to record this so I don't forget or misquote anything you say. Wait a minute while I get the recorder over to this phone." After I was all fixed and ready, I said, "Okay, I'm ready." He then said I could record the call only if I would agree to transcribe the conversation verbatim from the tape and then burn the tape, since he did not wish to be identified yet and his voice might be recognized. He also said he could possibly be more useful undercover a bit longer, but that when the time was right, he was willing to sign an affidavit. Here's the transcription. Caller, "Is your recorder on?" Doris, "Yes, and I've put in a fresh tape so I can throw it away." Caller, "No, our agreement is that you will burn it. Is that agreed?" "I know enough about you to know that you will do what you agree to do. Is that agreed?" "Yes, I agree to burn it." "Okay." Now, when I was invited to a meeting, I didn't focus very well on the objective of the meeting, if it was mentioned at all. It turned out to be a planning session to set you and Mr. Ecker and the Phoenix Institute up as a cult, just like the Heaven's Gate group, with the same orientation toward ETs and the liftoff or beam up. My reward for my participation in this was that once the Eckers and the Phoenix Institute are neutralized, it's an interesting word, the Institute will go into involuntary bankruptcy, and the several million dollars that it has in gold could be earned by doing certain chores for the bankruptcy trustees. I have never participated in such an arrangement, although I have heard that it is done. Who, this is Doris, who or what could you do for them? I won't comment on that now. It would provide clues to my identity. Are you aware of the Extra and other TV broadcasts of a couple of days ago? Of course. What do you know about them? Do you know how long the interviews were? Doris, no, I guess not, because there were only sound bites, out of context undoubtedly, and on TV 29 there were only a very, very few short minutes with Leon Fort and his mistress, Ann Beam. She is a self-proclaimed witch from an Arizona coven. Betty Tootin stole, did you get that, sir? Stole three corporations on two separate occasions, right in Nevada. I understand the programs were worse the following morning on TV 29 as to showing our house, which they referred to as a compound, but I didn't find too much except total lies in the evening of the airing. Extra was different. That is grounds for a lawsuit. But what really ticks me off the most is that Miles Muzio of TV 29 lives directly across the street from us, and I hear he even come to the cars by our drive to talk to the reporters. We were not home, unfortunately. One of the first things on Extra was a picture of where we live. We rent this house with the statement that the whole cult is holed up in this huge compound. This is grounds for a lawsuit. It appears that the other local channels had enough sense to not involve themselves in this slander, so we know that someone had an in and could pull strings with Channel 29. It would have to be that way. Sure, and the very one pulling the strings was your local ex-judge, that one that still plans to run you out of town or lock you away. Doris. And Rod Ensign, you know, he changed his name. What did he have to do with this? While he was president of the Institute, he stole about $50,000 in funds and equipment. He also sabotaged stuff. Caller, do you have any idea how much he sabotaged?
Millers are going to hate this. Millers are going to just really... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I guess probably not, but we do know and have proof and or witnesses who know that he and or his sister-in-law were responsible for breaking up the irrigation system and breaking a gas line in Mr. Turner's trailer, and an explosion and fire ensued that could have killed Ray Bilger, who was occupying the place, and could easily have burned down all the buildings if Ray had not been out there. We know that they stole the birds, farm chickens, tools, and other things. He and his family's income amounted to about $50,000 a year, and at the same time got welfare and food stamps. He was let go because he was always cheating on his expenses and lying about all the work he was doing on the farm. After he left, we learned that he had embezzled some $23,000 from the Institute while he was its president and a director. On TV, even the kids recognized the nut. And even more incredibly, he went over to Bob Turner and told him to watch Extra, that there was going to be a whole lot of stuff coming out in that program. This is after he stole some of Bob Turner's stuff and turned Bob into the Planning Commission for some old and piddling violations of the building code, which weren't violations at the time years ago when Bob moved the trailer to the farm. And after Bob gave the Ince kids one of the nicest Christmases they ever had, the first year they were on the farm. Caller, no, I didn't know all that, and I must have missed something. Who's Bob Turner? Doris says, oh, sorry. He owns the farm, and one of the companies financed by the Institute leases it from him. He is really a nice person. Used to play professional football and baseball, both. Caller, did you know he has ruined your tractors?
That's speaking of Rod.
Right. No. You have to be kidding me. Caller, no, I'm not kidding you. And he involves somebody by the name of Rod Davis. Doris says, I don't think I want to hear this. Caller, I think you should. He says he has Rob Davis so that he has to cooperate. Says something about knowing Rob took funds from your house for which he was accused. For which he was accused. Who, Rob Ends? Rod Ends. Yes, ma'am, the same. I believe I recall him saying that the fuel used to ruin the tractor was taken out of an airplane hangar where you keep your planes. That can't be. We don't have any planes, but Mr. Bob James does. And you're correct in that. Yes, indeed, gas was stolen from two planes in the hangar. Uh-huh. Begins to make sense, doesn't it? Callers continuing. You need to know that the interview lasted nearly 4 hours. He didn't just name your place, that is, your home and your son's place, but said there is a full arsenal out at the farm. He made them not use his material on the air lest he be identified and that he feared for his life. The FBI was, however, notified, and there will probably be a major investigation of everything out at the farm. He thinks this is a big game and just went on and on and on until it was so obviously all lies that even the TV people said they couldn't use most of the information anyway. Apparently, he was so nervous and palsied that the TV crew had trouble getting what they got to use. Doris, sir, I know you're telling me the truth, but I have to say that this really breaks my heart, and I can't believe there could be such evil. Well, Mrs. Ecker, let me assure you, this little conspiracy of do-badders runs all the way from Idaho, Colorado, Montana, Nevada, Los Angeles, and right to Jason Brent's office. After a few days, you can expect this to show up on the Associated Press, but they were too nervous to get involved until they saw how it would fly on TV. Well, how do we fight this sort of thing? Easy. They are terrified of exactly this. There are so many mouths, and I mean talkers, that they know the bragging will get done and they will tattle on each other. It already has happened. Green is on the phone every 10 minutes, and so is that imbecile Abbott. They are scared to death you will simply do some interviews and bring out the ongoing cases and link them together, and they will all fall down. And it is so, isn't it? Doris, I don't think anything we will say will be used, and therefore an interview just gives credence to them. Wrong. And I want you to know that the FBI is already connecting with people. Everybody's not against you, and I am one of them. Moreover, I am accepted and trusted by them, and I tell you again, I was present for the phone calls, the planning. You can check out something else, the attack against your daughter Kathy and the raid on her children.
And this is bad. This is bad.
Those records are ordered sealed. Jason Brent got the deeds done, and you are going to find the officers were also, get this, from Stallion Springs. This involves Brent and a woman called Tammy. She must be a real alley cat, that one. Dora says, wow. We go on, so go on and make the rest of my day. But Kathy's not my daughter. She's my daughter-in-law, and this has... and it will really hurt her family and her business, for she just helps us out because she loves us and we do consider her ours. Yes, you get the picture. Bust up every family member they can find. Now you can think about this. You can go for blood, and this time you will get it, or you can sit and be destroyed. But it seems a real shame to me that you let it go, because this is about as disgusting a thing as I've ever had the misfortune of witnessing, and as you will learn, I witnessed a lot. There was talk of getting the tapes of the programs entered into the court as evidence by somebody named Binder. Also, the attorney Horn is entering papers without proper permission with Chapin to get this stuff on file against you. I suggest you listen and don't wait around to take some action, because by now they probably already have the information to the courts. Doris, well, where can I reach you? I have to sit and consider this, and frankly, I don't have any reason to trust you. Well, I guess I apologize for that nasty statement, as you have apparently gone out on a limb. I mean, oh, please, you know what I mean. Is this Mark Williams? No, and I think you know that I wouldn't tell you if it were.